So we're back fully to the lectionary. Small diversion. I'll try not to let it happen too often. But I think it was worth it last week. And so this week, we're going to answer the question, how can we be like Jesus? And we have all kinds of opportunities and ways that we can look at this. We will not try and be like Jesus by doing as he does in our Matthew reading, confounding the religious leaders of the day with a single question. That's a bit beyond, I think, most of us, and it's not really our place, of course, but I've often thought, that's just one of the most fascinating interchanges in all of the Gospels, because with a single question, like being able to shut up a whole group of people with a single question, I think that's really something. But instead of that, how can we be like Jesus? Obviously, we're not being asked to take on any of his divine prerogatives. That's never been the question. We're not asked to become, well, saviors. As I think I've shared with you before, a well-known counseling professor, I think it was Larry Crabb, said that every counselor needs to have somewhere where they can see it, at least, and maybe nobody else, a little phrase that says, there was one savior and that's enough. Because counselors, people in the helping professions, really want to save people. But we can't. We can't save people. We can help them to get to where they need to be, where they can interact with God and be saved. Sometimes they can save themselves, but we can't save people, at least not that way. So if we're going to think of how can we be like Jesus, then what do? We don't do miracles. We don't feed thousands of people on the basis of a bag lunch. We do have many other options, and the one I would like us to look at, as much as anything, comes out of our Philippians reading. And we've been here before. This is just a wonderful passage of Scripture. Scholars think that whole part, most translations it's set aside, so it looks like poetry that begins with who being in the very nature God, you know, that is a hymn, that it's or perhaps a creed. It's a summation, a poetic and extremely concise summation of some of the characteristics of Jesus. But if we look just above that, if we look at verse 4, Paul says, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And then goes on to say, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And I would put it to you today that one of the ways that we can be like Jesus is by looking beyond our own interests. Now, you'll notice, and it's an important thing to notice here, that Paul doesn't say each of you should ignore your own interests. Paul does not say that each of you should figure out what it is that you need and never pay attention to that again so you can minister to other people. What Paul is telling us is that we need to look to the interests of others even as we look to our own. It's a very strange time we're living in right now. I suppose everybody could say that at all times, but you know, as we're making these transitions from different ways of thinking. I mean, we still have the builder generation, you know, those people who lived through the Great Depression as adults. There's still some of those around who did different things. We've got these baby boom business. We've got that group that came right after it. We've got the little baby boom. We've got millennials. We have all these people who think in dramatically different ways. And it's quite true that every generation going back to the ancient Greeks have thought that the generation following them is lazy and doesn't listen to their elders and all the rest of it. There's more going on now, perhaps, than in other times, because there's such dramatic differences between the ages. And we live longer, so we get to see more of them. And there's this fascinating thing going on right now where there's more people involved in helping others than maybe ever before, from some of the most grotesquely selfish motives you can possibly even imagine. You will go, and if you will talk to people who will assist you in getting yourself or getting your children into good universities and good colleges. They'll point out the kinds of places you should volunteer because they look best on your application. You will see jobs, or at least you'll talk to people who are recruiting for various places, and if you don't have a strong volunteering streak in there somewhere, they won't even look at you. So people are now volunteering, so they'll get the jobs they want. When did that happen? This whole idea that now we've got people who are looking, ostensibly looking out for the interests of others, but really they're looking out for their own interests first and foremost. I don't know if this is brand new in the history of the world, but it's certainly interesting, and it seems to be more here than ever before. That's not what Paul's talking about. What Paul is talking about here is that we need to be well aware of the interests of others, even as we care for ours, because that's one of the ways that we can be like Jesus. Obviously, we never had the opportunity to walk around with Jesus when he was in his corporeal sense, when he was here. I mean, we have the stories, but you know, they're long as the Gospels are. It's still a very incomplete picture of someone's lifetime, short as Jesus's was. But we tend to, and I think this is just human nature, I don't know how we could get away from it, we tend to look at Jesus in this almost unreal way. And it's hard, at least it's hard for me, to sort of imagine Jesus dealing with all the stuff that we do all the time. Like a stone in his shoe. Of course he had that happen. Tripping over nothing, like we sometimes do. We've all done that. You're walking along, you catch your foot somehow, you look back, there's nothing there. You feel sort of embarrassed. You feel silly. You look around to make sure. That obviously happened to Jesus. But we somehow think that, well, maybe it didn't. Maybe he was different. And we get this idea that Jesus, who lived this outward-focused life, because of course he did, never paid any attention to himself. And he was sort of that absent-minded idea that if somebody didn't put food in front of him, he might not eat for days at a time. I don't think that's the case. I think Jesus was just like us. In the physical sense, in the human sense, because we see that in the bits that we see in the Gospels. The writer of Hebrews makes it perfectly clear that Jesus was exactly like us, tempted just like us. He was everything just like us. So, of course, Jesus took care of his own interests. And we even see that now and then. In the Gospels, it talks about how he needed to get away, so he went to other places where people couldn't be around him all the time. And yet, at the same time, he cared for people around him. Sometimes at significant cost to himself. When he was tired and wanted to rest, sometimes people found him and he still took care of them. Jesus is an example of how important it is for us to somehow try and walk that balance beam or that high wire of taking care of ourselves while also taking care of others. While not losing sight of the fact that other people have things that they need that maybe we can assist them with. In the last little while, last couple of weeks, we've been talking about how we sort of respond to things and how sometimes what we need to do for people is not do what they want them, what they want us to do, but what they actually need. And somebody asked me, well, are you going to talk about the larger issue of sort of tolerance and all of that? What do we do with terrorist organizations? Do we tolerate them? Do we somehow extend this notion of radical tolerance to people who are dangerous or don't deserve it? Well, no. Jesus looked to the interests of others in ways that were best for them, while simultaneously making sure that he was able to care for the things for himself that only he could do. It is a tricky balancing act. It's hard for us to care for ourselves when we're trying to care for others. It's an ongoing problem. I was talking to somebody just a few days ago who's in recovery, addiction recovery. And one of the ways to in a sense, guarantee that your recovery is successful is that you get the focus off yourself and you reach out to serve other people. It's actually the 12th step in most 12-step programs is that you now take what you've learned and you help others, become other-oriented. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that you are the person to help everyone, that there are people who you actively shouldn't help because they're triggers for you, they are the kind of people who will drag you back to where you were before or anything else. We need to care for ourselves even as we care for others. And if there's one thing that we saw Jesus do, it's that he cared for those around him when he could, when he was able. Jesus paid attention to the limitations that were upon him. Something that we wish we didn't have to do. At least, most of us have had those moments when work needed to be done or someone needed help and we wished we could do more than we actually could. That's not being like Jesus. Jesus is an example of someone who carefully looked at what needed to be done and created a way that it could be accomplished. First of all, by making sure that he got the rest he needed and that he got the support he needed. And then by creating, well, the church to care for what he would do if he was still here. If we want to be like Jesus, we need to fully engage in that balancing act. We need to get over the idea that our interests are the only ones that matter, but we can't get over it by saying that our interests don't matter, which is just as bad as the first. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Because there are times when we need to give more than we think we can. But there are also times when we need to say, no, I can't help here. That there are other people who can do for you what you need, what you can provide what you need. It's hard. It's hard to turn down someone who asks for help. But when we look to the interests of others and we try and interact with them on the basis of their interests and their needs, we need to remember that we're called to be the people we are for our whole lives, not just for this moment. That sometimes we need to take a longer look. And sometimes, in the last couple of weeks, sometimes that means telling people that what they want, they shouldn't want. And helping them to see what it is that they actually need and how we can help them meet it. Jesus didn't always do what people thought they wanted, you know. Or what other people thought he should do. My favorite, of course, is when somebody came wanting a miracle and Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." Well, what good is that? Well, what's more than forgiveness of sins? Oh, you want to be healed. Okay, well, there, you're healed too. But the one that really matters, Jesus had already taken care of. How can we be like Jesus? We can be like Jesus by being constantly aware that there may be someone who needs what only we can provide. And we need to hold on to that in the grip that says that maybe we're not the person to provide what someone needs, but maybe we can be part of that. We can realize that we are called to take care of ourselves and the people around us. It's not an either-or. that Jesus came to earth to minister to the people here, to create a way that we could be in relationship with God that we couldn't before, because he loved us. Not because it looked good on a resume, not because somebody manipulated him into it, but because he loved us. And if we want to be like Jesus, maybe we should start by loving the people around us. Realizing that opens us up, of course, to needing to meet their needs. But part of loving the people around us is loving ourselves as well. Being like Jesus means being open to do what needs to be done in ways that bring glory to him. Not just for the moment, but for as long as we possibly can. Sometimes it takes discernment, sometimes it takes work, but it's worth it in the end. Because we want to be like Jesus. We want to be someone who's made a difference for as long as we possibly can. Amen.